Now, in midsummer come, and all fools slaughtered, and spring's infuriations over, and the long way to the first autumnal inhalation. Young broods are in the grass, the roses are heavy with the weight of fragrance, and the mind lays by its trouble. Now the mind lays by its trouble and considers. The fidgets of remembrance come to this. This is the last day of a certain year, beyond which there is nothing left of time. It comes to this and the imagination's life. There is nothing more inscribed, nor thought, nor felt. And this must comfort the heart's core against its false disasters. These fathers standing round, these mothers touching, speaking, being near, these lovers waiting in the soft, dry grass. Postpone the anatomy of summer, as the physical time, the metaphysical time. Let's see the very thing and nothing else. Let's see it with the hottest fire of sight. Burn everything not part of it to ash. Trace the golden sun about the whitened sky, without invasion by a single metaphor. Look at it in its essential barrenness, and say, this is the center that I seek. Fix it in an eternal foliage, and fill the foliage with arrested peace, joy of such permanence, right ignorance of change still possible, exile desire for what is not. This is the barrenness of the fertile thing that can attain no more. It is the natural tower of all the world, the point of survey, green apogee, tower more precious than the view beyond, point of survey squatting like a throne, axis of everything, Green's apogee. And happiest folkland, mostly marriage hymns. It is the mountain on which the tower stands. It is the final mountain. Here the sun, sleepless, inhales his proper air and rests. This is the refuge that the end creates. The old man standing on the tower who reads no book. His ruddy ancientness absorbs the ruddy summer and is appeased by an understanding that fulfills his age, by a feeling capable of nothing more. One of the limits of reality presents itself in only. And the hay, baked through long days, is piled in mounds. It is a land too ripe for enigmas, too serene. There the distance fails the clairvoyant eye, and the secondary senses of the ear swarm, not for secondary sounds, but choir. Not evocations, but last fire, last sounds with nothing less compounded, carried full, pure rhetoric of the language without words. Things stop in that direction, and since they stop, the direction stops. We accept what is as good. The utmost must be good, and is our fortune, and honey hived in the trees, and mingling of colors at a festival. One day enriches a year. One woman makes the rest look down. One man becomes a race, lofty like him perpetual. Or do the other days enrich the one? And is the queen humble as she seems to be? The charitable majesty of her whole kin? The bristling soldier, weather foxed, who looms in the sunshine, is a filial form, and one of the land's children, easily born, its flesh not questioned. The more than casual bloom contains the year and older and other year and him and people without souvenir. The day enriches the year not as embellishment. Stripped of remembrance, displays its strength, the youth, the vital sun, the heroic power. Rock cannot be broken. It is the truth. It rises from land and sea and covers it. It is a mountain halfway green, and then the other immeasurable half. Such rock as placid air becomes. But it is not a hermit's truth nor symbol of hermitage. It is the visible rock. The audible, the brilliant mercy of a sure repose on the special ground. The vividest repose. Things certain, sustaining us in certain. It is the rock of the cover. The extreme. A mountain luminous halfway in blue, and then halfway in the extreme of light, sapphire flashing from the central sky. If 12 princes sat before a king. Far in the woods, they sang their unreal songs to cure. It was difficult to sing in face of the object. Singers had to address themselves, or else but the object. Deep in the woods, they sang of summer in the covering field. They sang desiring an object that was near, in face of which desire no longer nor made of itself that which it could not find. Three times the concerted self takes hold. Three times the thrice concerted self, having possessed the object, rips it in savage scrutiny, once to make captive, once to subjugate or yield to subjugation, once to proclaim the meaning of the capture, this hard prize, fully made, fully apparent, fully found. The trumpet of morning blows in the clouds and through the sky. It is the visible announcement. It is the more than visible, the more than sharp, illustrious sea. The trumpet cries, this is the successor of the invisible. This is its substituting stratagems and spirit. This, in sight and memory, must take its place. And what is possible replaces what is not. The resounding cries like 10,000 tumblers tumbling down to share the day. The trumpet supposes that a mind exists, aware of division, aware of its cries clarion, its diction's way, as that of a personage in a multitude. Man's mind, grown venerable in the unreal. Lie low, upright, stop on beanpole. Let your brown breast redden while you wait for war. With one eye, watch the willow, motionless. The gardener's cat is dead. The gardener is gone. And last year's garden grows salacious weeds. A complex of emotions falls apart in an abandoned spot. Soft, civil bird, the decay that you regard, of the array, and of the spirit of the array. Douceur, tristesse, fond of life and death, far push and polished beast. This complex falls apart, and of your beanpole, it may be. You detect another complex of emotions, not so soft, so civil. And you make a sound which is not part of the listener's own sense. The persona of summer play the characters of an inhuman author who meditates with the gold bug in blue meadows late at night. He does not hear his characters talk. He sees them mottled in the moodiest costumes of blue and yellow. Sky and sun, velvet and knotted, sashed and seamed, half pale of red, half pale of green. Appropriate habit, the huge decorum, the manner of the sky, part of the mottled mood of summer's whole, in which the characters speak because they want to speak. The fat, the roseate character, free for a moment from malice and sudden cry, completed in a completed scene, speaking their part as in a youthful happiness.